8th annual Total Theater Tony Broadway special on UNC Radio to have the indefatigable and brilliant and somewhat controversial, but I think kind of beloved at this point, New York theater journalist Michael Riedel. You can see him every week on Theater Talk on public television, and of course, his articles that are eagerly awaited in the New York Post there every Wednesday and Friday. You can read the occasional Sunday. Michael Riedel, welcome to the Total Theater Tony Show.
Good to be with you today, but you know, my career really is finished if anybody loves me at all in this business.
Well, I assumed your career would be finished the minute you started appearing on my radio show, but somehow you survived.
You see, I'm desperate to remain in the spotlight. I'll even agree to be interviewed by you.
I know. It's kind of sad, but I appreciate it nonetheless. So let's get right to it. Let's talk about any controversies, any kind of scary, creepy, weird, newsy stuff happening in this year's Tony Awards. Give us the dirt.
I think it's fairly straightforward this year, actually. The intense rivalries that we've had in the past, let us say, for example, Nine versus Dreamgirls back in the 80s, or Lion King versus Ragtime, or even not so long ago, Passing Strange versus In the Heights, I don't really get that sense of that kind of intense or bitter rivalry today. I think both Once and Newsies, the two shows that are in contention for the Tony for Best Musical, both of them kind of came out of nowhere and are a bit surprised that they're even on Broadway. Disney did not in any way plan to launch Newsies on Broadway. They did it out at the Paper Mill Playhouse in New Jersey, and they were just kind of getting this thing on its feet that they thought they would license to high schools and colleges because they had requests from amateur theater groups for a stage version of Newsies. But the show proved to be a winner out there, and it got a good review from the New York Times. And the next thing everyone involved in it knew was they were opening at the Niederlander Theater on Broadway, and they've racked up a $10, $12 million advance. And Disney's played this game very well, because the Tony Awards are a game. The campaign for the Tony Awards is a sort of a political campaign, if you will. And Disney knows that it's the 800-pound gorilla of Broadway, and it has been attacked in the past for throwing its weight around. And now we're just a little show, we're a little company doing a little show. It's not really Disney, it's just this cute little show about spunky newspaper boys. We didn't even think it would be on Broadway. We didn't plan it. This is not a big corporate show. It just has happened naturally. We're so thrilled to be part of the scene, and the fact that we've been nominated for a Tony Awards is just icing on the cake. So they played it very humbly, perhaps a little disingenuously, because I know they will be bitterly disappointed if they lose, as all losers are. But they've skillfully managed their Tony campaign. The Once people, not so much. They're not as good at it. They're just kind of hoping that their show is the artistic show that the community rallies to. But the fact is, I think Newsies will win because it's going to have a very robust national tour. A lot of people stand to make a lot of money from this show. And if they give it a Tony Award, it's potentially even more lucrative.
Now, one thing that people may not even think of or remember is, and we've only talked in the past 2 hours just a little bit about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, because people kind of almost thought it opened last season. It didn't. It just started previews for most of last season. So,
well,
Michael,
in fact, sort of opened last season, but then they decided that it wouldn't really be an opening, and they closed it down, you'll remember, and retooled it for a couple of months, and then had their official opening a year ago, in June, in fact. And they're a little disappointed because they thought that they would be nominated for the Tony for Best Musical, because it's been a fairly weak year for new musicals. And they were kind of counting on being nominated. I don't think they ever thought they had any chance to win, but I think they felt that they had made the show better than it was when they fired Julie Taymor and brought the new team in. And I think they felt that the antagonism they felt that the theater community had toward the show had abated somewhat, and that they would slip in in the fourth slot for the nominee for Best Musical. But that fourth slot went to Nice Work If You Can Get It, which is not a particularly good show. And so
the fourth slot went to Leap of Faith. Nobody was expecting.
Oh, yes, right. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
See, now there's a show I completely forgot about, because it closed right after it got the nomination.
Right. Well, they thought the nomination.
So the Spider-Man people are kind of sitting on the sidelines pouting, they were invited to be part of the telecast, but they've turned their noses up at the Tony Awards and will not be on the show tomorrow night.
Although, to be fair, the Tony people did give them a slot on last year's Tony show. Reeve Carney and Jennifer Gagliano did a song last year.
That is true, but you know, the CBS would like to have had Spider-Man on because Good, Bad, or Indifferent, it is a title in a show that everyone knows, and they would not have minded having Bono and the Edge back on the show again.
So what are the other stories that you recall of this year on Broadway and around the theater world? We're talking, of course, to Michael Regal of the New York Post, who covers theater as a journalist, the way Cronkite would cover Vietnam. So what were the little My Lai massacres of 2011-2012 Broadway?
I don't think I don't want to get into a moral equivalency sort of thing with a My Lai massacre and anything that goes on Broadway. But I would say a couple of the more interesting stories this year. Scott Rudin, the Hollywood producer, now a very powerful Broadway producer, has really emerged as the David Merrick of his era. Scott has produced Death of a Salesman, which is likely to pick up the Tony for Best Revival, and Mike Nichols will probably win for Best Director. Mike directed The Death of a Salesman. But the best controversy of the year was Rudin was going to produce another play called Clybourne Park, written by Bruce Norris, and Scott was the lead producer on that. And Scott was also putting together for HBO The Corrections, based on the Jonathan Franzen novel. And Scott had hired to play one of the characters in The Corrections, Bruce Norris. And Bruce Norris was also the writer of Clybourne Park. And Bruce Norris is an eccentric, strange kind of fellow. And at the last minute, just before The Corrections was to go into production, Bruce Norris just informed Scott that, you know, I don't want to do this role, so I'm withdrawing from the production. And Scott said, all right, you're going to withdraw from my HBO series as an actor? Well, then I'm going to withdraw from Clybourne Park as your producer. And he completely blew up the Clybourne Park Broadway production that he was financing and putting together and walked away from it. And he and Norris were fighting and sniping back and forth at each other in the press. And I happened to be talking to a fellow named Jordan Roth, who runs Jamison Theaters, where Clybourne Park was going to go. And I said to Jordan, who's a young, smart kid who's really coming into his own in the business, I said, this is a real chance for you to become a leader on Broadway. You can step in and you can take over Clybourne Park. Scott won't be mad at you if you do that, but you can take it over. You can save a play that I think won the Pulitzer, was a Pulitzer finalist last year, that everyone's talking about. That had great reviews out of town, and you can take over as the lead producer. It's going to your theater anyway, and you can put the pieces back together and save the day. And that's exactly what Jordan did, and he's likely to be rewarded with a Tony Award for it tomorrow night.
Do you think Scott Rudin had a point? Do you think Bruce Norris pulled a dick move by not wanting to act in the HBO series?
Well, I mean, I know, and I'm very fond of Scott, and I think one thing that Scott prizes above all, is loyalty. He's very loyal to the artist that he works with, and he expects loyalty in return. And I think he was on the verge of beginning the HBO series, The Corrections. They were about to start filming, and right before, this actor who had auditioned and talked to Scott about it and had meetings with Scott and was negotiating the contract and all that, suddenly said, you know, this is not for me. I don't want to do it anymore. And I think Scott was quite upset about that, and he retaliated by saying, all right, well, if you don't want to do my movie, then I don't want to do your play.
I mean, they both certainly...
It's very much a David Merrick kind of move. I mean, I loved it because it was great. It gave me two or three columns, and everybody was writing about it because, you know, we love fights and feuds along the Great White Way, and this was a good, juicy one.
Do you see any fights and feuds or any juicy stories coming up in the upcoming season? Well, we've already started the new Broadway season. What do you see on the horizon?
Right. Well, I think, you know, there's one that's ongoing. We're still following the saga of the lawsuit between Julie Taymor and the producers of Spider-Man. In fact, just last week, they were all in court, sort of beginning their preparations for the battle. And frankly, I'm a little surprised that it hasn't been settled yet. I thought it would be settled. And I think that there's a real standoff here, and I mean, we can all be so lucky, and we should hope for this, but I think we may get a court case out of this, which would be lots of fun to cover, because both sides have unloaded, you know, dump trucks of dirt on each other.
I would love to see that on court, you know, what do they call it now, True TV. That would be fun to watch one of these murder cases. So can I ask you...
They accused Julie Taymor of being totally insane and out of control and saying things like, I don't give a bleep what the audience thinks, I'm an artist. And then she accused Bono of showing up at a production meeting drunk out of his mind on beer with supermodels in tow. So there's potential here for a lot of down and dirty, nasty gossip to come out.
Well, if Bono shows up at a production meeting with supermodels in tow, is that a bad thing?
I actually thought it made him look good. You know, maybe you shouldn't be drunk at the production meeting, okay? But, yeah, I mean, listen, I'd be delighted to show up at the Orso one night, maybe a little bombed and with a couple of supermodels in tow.
If you do, Michael, I want to be there. Just FYI. Just remember your old
pal. Hey, Riedel showed up. Riedel showed up bombed with David Lefkowitz in tow. Whoa.
I'll wear my thong just for you, Michael. So
Thank you. Last
question from Michael Riedel of the New York Post. Other than, it's amazing how Spider-Man is going to cross into now three seasons of a news cycle. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But anything that's really new, that you're excited about coming up, even in a good way, a show that's coming up? Yeah.
Well, the show that I hear that's quite good is coming from London. It's a musical that's called Matilda, based on a wonderful Roald Dahl children's story about a brilliant girl whose parents hate her and have no use for her, and she's sent off to an awful school with a terrible headmistress, but she gets her revenge on everybody in the end in the wonderful Roald Dahl fashion. I have not seen the show yet. I haven't gotten over to London to see it. I'll probably be going in a couple of weeks, but I do have the script, and I listened to the score, and I thought the score was first rate. I mean, Tim Minchin, who wrote the music and the lyrics, really understands how to write a Broadway score. It does everything that a musical theater score should do in terms of setting up the tone and the style, introducing the characters, and launching into the narrative. And so I'm looking forward to that. It's been booked for the Schubert Theater in the spring of 2013. And that's the show that is right now generating the most buzz out there, because everyone I know, every Broadway producer I know who's seen it in London, loved it. And in fact, about 12 of them were scrapping around trying to get it. It's coming over from the Royal Shakespeare Company, and all these New York producers were trying to get a piece of it. But in the end, the Royal Shakespeare Company is pretty much keeping it to itself and is going to produce it on Broadway in with some help from Dodger Productions, who produced Jersey Boys and are up for a Tony this year for Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow. Michael, and if anybody knows about Broadway Buzz, I mean, if Michael Riedel goes to London or he hears about a show that's going to come, you did it with One Man, Two Governors this particular season where, you know, in your way, since you're not a critic, you can sort of push things and say, oh, this is going to be big, this is going to be exciting. You did it with the producers, you've done it with a few other shows. So, Matilda, you just have that knack.
Yeah, the only one I missed this season, I believe that you had a little play that was done somewhere in New York, wasn't it? And somehow I just didn't get on the bandwagon for that one. What was the title of that play again?
Oh, thank you for asking, Michael. It was called Shalom Gamet, An Evening with Rabbi Saul Solomon. But guess what, Michael?
That is one where I missed out. And missing out on an evening with Rabbi, whatever his name is, it'd be like missing out on the Phantom of the Opera back in the 1980s.
Really?
I mean, I'm very good at what I do, but every now and then I get it wrong. And I'm sorry, Dave, that one I just was not paying attention. And, I mean, the tremendous excitement that show generated in New York, I really should have been on top of it.
Well, as I said, Michael, early August, if you're around in New York, you can have another chance to see it. It's coming back. So
in
I
August?
Expect you there with
Damn, supermodels. I'm planning now to be in the Hamptons the entire month of August. So I may miss it again, Dave. I'm sorry.
Well, you'd be missing something I think you would almost enjoy. You know, you can't fully enjoy anything, Michael, being the person that you are, but I think you could almost enjoy Shalom Gamet. I hope to see you there, and I hope to see your column in the New York Post for many, many more years to come. It's the most fun reading, really, about Broadway that there is.
Well, they signed me up for a contract, so I'll be there at least for the next 2.5 years.
Michael Riedel, an absolute pleasure, as always, to have you in the neighborhood, especially for the Tony special. Enjoy the Tony story. Will you physically be there? Are you going to be watching on TV? Do you go?
I am. I'm going. My friend Manny Eisenberg, the great Broadway producer, produced so many of Neil Simon's plays, is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, so I'm going to be there to cheer him on. And I'll be there, you know, sort of seeing where you should sit next year when the Rabbi play is nominated.
That's a deal, Michael. Always a pleasure.
Yep.
Michael Riedel, New York Post, and Theater Talk, I should
say. Row J for Jews.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great one, and have a great summer.
Bye, David.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Now.